Hello and welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast.
Welcome everyone to a Grey's Anatomy podcast. We deep dive every single episode of Grey's. We're currently on season 15, episode 16, 17, and 18, Blood and Water, and A Dream of Sheep, and Add It Up.
A Dream of Sheep?
It says, and Dream of Sheep.
Interesting that they found that. Anyways.
Yeah, we are a spoilers podcast. So if you haven't seen all of Grey's Anatomy, we talk about everything.
Yes.
So if you are not caught up to season 19, probably go watch all of that and then come back and listen to the episode.
Yeah, that would be perfect. And if you'd like to support us and help us continue to put out weekly content, you can do so by going to our Patreon. It is patreon.com/theoncallroom. You can pledge to be an intern, a resident, or an attending. All of those have really cool benefits, such as our private Facebook group, which is really fun, especially during the new season. We have bonus episodes we put up monthly. And we also have something called post-op, which is for when we call time of death. If you are our $10 patron, you get a bonus anywhere from like 5 to 10 minutes of content afterwards. Today's post-op topic is going to be about the plant room, the blue light room, the game room, that whole new thing that Maggie is testing.
Yes.
So if you want to hear our thoughts on that and which one we would prefer to hang out in, you will have to be a patron. Also, you can support us by leaving a review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen. 5 stars, 5 scalpels, please.
Thank you so much. Abby got her hair dyed today.
I was just going to say that we have come full circle. If we were to take our photos again, well, we have aged.
Yeah.
But like, I now have like longer, darker blonde, red, brown hair, and you have short blonde hair.
Yeah.
Your hair color's never altered.
No, but my length has.
Right. Like we have gone the whole, like since that time period, I've gone so short. You've gone so long.
And then we just
I've gone full blonde.
And then we've cycled back.
Yeah. I did just leave my hairstylist and she was like, see you in 8 weeks when you want highlights again. And I was like, see you then.
At least she knows who you are.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that like with all my hairstylists, they've always been like, we're doing the same thing, which is like, they just know my hair color, which is great. But I mean, I really threw mine for a loop the other week when I was like, I'm chopping it.
I love that.
Yeah.
I just, I get bored and this is my way of surviving boredom.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, like, I'm amazed that you have consistently been like, I am doing this color with my hair and I want nothing else.
Well, I think it's part of my identity. And I also, I worked really hard. If you know anything about being this blonde, it takes a long time to get there. And if you like even backpedal a little bit, it's really hard to get back to it. And for a long time, it was like my hair was long and they were like, yeah, if you backpedal, like your hair is damaged, we're not going to like bleach your ends or anything.
Right. So that makes sense.
So
when did you start going like full bleach and tone? I'm trying to remember. It's been forever.
It's been forever. Yeah. I mean, I've been
not at MSU. You were blonde, but you weren't.
I was probably like early 20s.
Okay. Because then you came back and you did pixie cut red.
That's terrible. I can't talk about that time in my life.
No, absolutely how ballsy. Terrible. How ballsy.
I mean, everyone has to have that
I've
moment
not
in their
yet,
life.
And I'm nervous.
I feel like you'll have a baby and you'll cut, no. You'll get a pixie and you'll be like, what did I do?
I'll be like, who am I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what I think, like my grandmother, who I look very similar to, she's passed on. I might still, even though she's passed, I probably look like my dead grandma. Oh God. Oh God, rest her soul. But she, to the day she died, had bleach blonde hair. And so did her sister. And so I feel like it's a very like, I just like, and familiar. Their daughter, like it's that side of the family. It's like,
I love that. It's like your heritage.
Yeah. None of it was natural. We all bleached it, but it's our heritage.
Oh, that's, I always thought my grandma had red hair and then I learned she's been dying it.
Oh yeah. Isn't that interesting? And when you're like, oh my God, I thought.
Right. Like I just was like, my grandma has red hair.
Yeah. No.
Now it's blonde. I don't know. I think her natural color was like dark brown. That being said, it does look really dark, but she went in the bottom of my hair and like basically matched it with like the part of my hair that has never seen the sun. So like
so you
the
actually
underneath.
Have quite dark hair.
Right. So like when it grows in, it probably won't have like a line.
Yeah.
So
you're more at your natural color.
I look like
color.
My mother. Hi, mom. I look like you.
Yeah. So were you ever blonde? As like a baby? As
yeah,
a kid?
I was. It was like strawberry blonde.
Yeah, it's probably similar
to mine.
It was like
dirty blonde. Blonde.
Yeah, that's
which my... I do love a blonde.
Yeah.
It's in style right now. But anyways, I should have taken a photo. My hairstylist and I have, like we were standing in the mirror together. Right now, mine is darker than hers, but we have the same haircut. Like,
do you always have the same haircut?
I feel like I always do what she does. And so
well, she knows what she's doing.
Right. And like, it reminds me of that scene in 101 Dalmatians where like the dog looks like the owner. Like I feel like it doesn't work for yours because your person has long, dark brown hair, but like, there were a few, we were in the salon and I was like, look around. I was like, the people that are doing their hair looks like.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know?
Yeah.
So anyways.
Huh. Well, that's kind of similar because like John's person, he had long hair and John then had long hair and then Todd cut his hair and then John cut his hair.
It's a thing. It's like, you're like, I don't know what I want to do. What you have looks good.
Yeah. Like do that for me.
Yeah.
Do you have any like updates? I don't really. It's
no.
Halloween is coming up. So if you celebrate the spooky season, we're nearing an end. This will come out for our patrons on Halloween. So that's fun. So do we have any like Halloween things to say? We still haven't watched Hocus Pocus yet.
No, but hopefully we will maybe this Saturday morning. We'll see.
Yeah. I want to see the new Halloween, like the ending one with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I haven't done that yet. Oh, I just started watching this thing on Netflix. It's called 28 Days. And if you're like into supernatural, like paranormal.
Aren't you not into paranormal?
No, I am. Like ghosts and spirits and stuff. Lorraine Warner, I think was her name, is like a big medium and she has passed away, but she would like be on shows like Paranormal State. Do you remember that?
It sounds very familiar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyway, she was like this lovely like older woman and she would come in and she would like, she was great. But this, like her and her husband like came up with this idea that like, in order for like paranormal things to cycle like into its in most intense thing, it takes 28 days. But they were never able to really like research it. So this Netflix series are these like two people, like
is this
two
what
teams.
You were, yes. Like, sending it
yes.
from?
Okay. So they're these two teams and they're like staying for 28 days in these really haunted places.
Fun.
So like each, I think has like a medium on their team. One of them is a demonologist. He was like, hey, my name is Jordan. I am a firefighter by day and a demonologist by night. And I sent that to Abby and I was like, is that going to be Jake?
This sounds like something I would like to now go home and watch.
Yeah. And I mean, it is like wacky. There's definitely like, if you don't believe in this stuff, you'll be like, this is all bullshit. But if you like even slightly believe in it, it's kind of spooky. Like they'll be like doing sessions where they like put like masks over their eyes so they can't see. And then they put headphones on, they listen to radio static.
Oh, I don't
and
like that.
So, like, and then they'll like say things out.
The sound of sleep paralysis.
Yeah. Well, they will like hear voices. And so they'll say it out loud. And then the other people in the room will respond to what the person's saying.
Whoa.
And then they're like, take it off of me, man. Like, I'm not feeling good. The energy is not good.
I'm not feeling good.
So it was, if you are listening to this on Halloween night, that is something you can put on the television and be spooked by.
At first, I thought it was like farce what you sent me. I thought it was a clip from what's that vampire show?
Oh,
what
yeah,
we
yeah,
see
yeah.
in the shadows.
Shadows. Yeah,
that's like didn't it sort of? It yes. felt like it, that could have been on that show.
Yeah, the vibes are very odd, but I'm gonna watch it. The other thing you should watch is an episode, season 3 of Unsolved Mysteries came out.
Okay, and where do you watch it?
Netflix.
Oh, okay.
And like the new Unsolved Mysteries. And the second episode that... Who's that guy?
The Lawn Service.
Oh, thank God. The second episode on there, second or third, it will say like UFOs, is based on UFO sightings in Grand Haven, Muskegon,
no!
Michigan in 1994. And they have like all the 911 calls like of people being like, there are like these four lights.
I wonder
what
it was.
And they, well, it was UFOs.
Okay.
100%. If you watch this episode and you tell me that it's not a UFO.
UFO.
But it was crazy because like they were showing shots of like Grand Haven Pier and stuff.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah.
The UFO thing to me is interesting because I don't think aliens, I believe in aliens, but
sure.
I don't think they're like that. Like I think of it more as like, what was that movie?
Aliens from Arrival?
Yes.
those octopus.
Or what if things? I was like the ones from Spice World?
Or the ones from Mars Attack?
I think it's the ones from Spice World.
Don't they
like squeeze one of their boobs?
Yes, they do.
That movie was made by men.
Oh, 100%.
Which Spice Girl? Jerry? I feel like probably Jerry.
Jerry!
Wow, that is wild. I'm sure that's why I like wasn't allowed to watch it for a while as a kid.
Speaking of Jerry,
oh, yes.
She's married to Christian Horner, which is, he is the, oh my God, why can't I think of the word? Oh, I feel very embarrassed for all my F1 listeners out there. He is team principal of Red Bull. And Red Bull won the Constructors' Championship on Sunday. Oh, yeah, she was there. And it was so exciting because that's my team. And they won, like, the championship of, and there are three more races.
I bet she looks great in Red Bull gear.
Oh, she doesn't wear, she only wears white, all white. That's, like, her vibe.
Oh, weird.
You don't follow her?
She doesn't wear the British flag anymore?
Nope, only white, like, cream-colored, like, face.
Does she look good?
Oh, she looks fantastic.
Does she still have really red hair?
It's like strawberry blonde red.
Speaking of famous redheads, I've also been I always listen to Paramore songs, but like they have a new album coming out. They're also on tour. And so they released a single and I like loved Paramore. Mm-hmm. I don't know how probably because I loved Twilight and I loved those two songs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Caught Myself and Decode. Oh my God. So good. But anyways, they're like back on the scene again. Hayley Williams looks fucking incredible. She has bright red hair is my point. There's that in Vegas right now, the When We Were Young tour, like with all of the punk rock emo bands of our era. Anyways, she was there and she sounds great. And I want to go see Paramore.
Do it.
But I had a moment where I was like, oh, I'm going to dye my hair orange and be like Hayley Williams. And then I thought, I'll get a wig.
Yeah, you don't need to dye your hair orange.
Be a fun Halloween costume. I want to wear a wig for a Halloween costume.
Do it. Go buy a wig.
Last year I did, but I looked weird.
No, you didn't. You looked great. You had a great wig on. One final thing.
Yeah.
We got tickets to see Heather McMahon again.
We sure did.
So excited. She's coming to Grand Rapids this tour.
I can't. She's going to the DeVos.
I don't understand how that is going to work.
We don't like the DeVos's, by the way.
I literally don't go see
shows there.
Yeah,
so
I don't understand how that's going to work.
She'll fill it. You don't think so?
I think she will, but I feel like the vibe at DeVos is very odd to perform.
Yeah, like
perform
it's like
at.
Separated from the crowd. It's probably not going to be as good as when we saw her at the Fox Theater. That was probably like...
Yeah, did you see that she also is booked Radio City? Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
I'm proud of her.
Yeah, I mean,
I really
for
want
her.
That tiramisu.
Yeah.
Because I think it would be so with tennis shoes and just wear that to the show.
Oh, that would be fun.
Listeners,
yeah,
if you want
sweatpants.
If you want, that's what I mean. If you want to get us a Christmas gift, you can buy us the tiramisu.
Yeah, it's very expensive.
From Mr. Eatwell. It is.
All of you listeners can go in on it for us.
Yeah. They get cheaper. Like the older ones now are like $100 for, it's still expensive for the top and bottom, but like it's like $200.
Yeah, that's too expensive.
And I have the parm suit, but I want the hooded. Well,
do you ever wear it?
I need to find it. I haven't worn it yet. That's like my winter outfit.
Yeah.
I tuck it in.
Oh, that's really
to the
nice.
Sweatpants.
That's really nice.
I just
nice.
Don't love the color of it. It's
the
like a seafoam bluey green. It's not my color.
No, that's not mine either.
Cheetah print isn't really either, but I would do it. Yeah. And tiramisu is my favorite dessert.
Yeah. Well, maybe Jake and I can go in on it for you for
maybe
Christmas.
Everyone can.
Yeah.
No one else buys me presents. Don't buy me a present. Okay. Let's talk about Grays.
Okay.
To be honest, listeners, I feel like we are in the flop era of this season and in the current season. I'm just not feeling it.
Yes. I'm glad you said of this season because like, and not of the series. Cause I do feel like there were episodes this season we really liked.
The Windstorm.
Shockingly. And that dinner party I loved.
Right.
But these, well, let's just get into it. So we, again, Blood and Water and Dream of Sheep added up. Those are the three titles. Do you want to do the first monologue?
Sure. All diseases have a genetic component, but of course, genes are not always to blame. In diagnosing a disease, physicians must take into account other factors, their environment, their lifestyle. However, some genetic traits are, annoyingly, unavoidable. Thanks, Mom. Blood is thicker than water. It means the family you're born into is important above all else, right? Wrong. The original proverb goes a little differently. It actually says, the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb, meaning the bloodshed... What the fuck am I reading? Meaning the bloodshed on the proverbial battlefield bonds us more than simple genetics. And yes, DNA matters when it comes to medical history, but I'm a doctor and I say family is family. I don't give a crap whose blood you have.
Yeah, that was weird. When I was in second grade, this girl, Missy, could cross her legs behind her head like a pretzel. And one day, her leg just popped and then it was lying there behind her. My mother said, stop crying. It was just an anterior hip dislocation.
That's funny.
Then she said something I've never forgotten. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. It's the kind of advice a mother gives a kid. But as my mother would be the first to tell you, she never followed it. It got her in a lot of trouble. It also won her awards. That's how records are broken. How moons are stepped on. Oh, yeah, got it. Diseases are cured, but people who are willing to try, by people who are willing to try. We call these people innovators, fearless, genius. We call them reckless, thoughtless, dangerous. It's hard to know which one we are. It's hard to know if what we're doing is just crazy or if it's going to change everything. Meredith Gray.
Sorry about that. Anesthesiology is a lot more challenging than it looks because it's mostly math. A patient's weight, their estimated blood volume, their lung function, all these variables have to be accounted for. It takes careful calculation to suspend a person between life and death. If one of those variables is off, you might wake up in the middle of your surgery or never wake up at all. If only life's variables were as cut and dry as the rule of mathematics. If only there were clear answers, certainty, clarity, right or wrong. But all you can do is eliminate as many unknowns as possible. Then pick an answer and hope. Hope that at the end of the day, it's an answer you can live with. Meredith Gray.
Shotgun workup. We have Hunter Martinez, osteosarcoma.
Frank Nelstadt, factor 4 lead-in.
Ella Nelstadt, factor... Isn't that five?
Five, sorry.
Five lead-in.
Rick Burns. I laughed when I typed that one.
Douglas Hall, fractured clavicle, distal humerus fracture.
Elizabeth Hall, pregnancy, uterine bleed.
Baby Hall, prematurity.
Carrie Donnelly, fractures at C4 and C5.
Toby Donnelly, soft tissue injury.
And Nora Hildridge, hereditary pancreatitis.
And then we have Teddy Altman, pregnancy, cervical insufficiency, which I wrote in my notes. What the fuck is cervical insufficiency?
I don't know. Also, it's kind of like, where did I read? It's like the names they give women's ailments and things. And like, even like our sexual body parts are like not, it's like they make them sound yucky.
Yeah.
Anyways. Okay. Rounds. Andrew and Karina's dad, Vincenzo. I think that's how I say that.
Is it Vincenzo?
Vincenzo. I'm gonna call him Vin. I'm gonna call him Vinny.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, is in town and he is pitching to them his idea of a baby in a bag. It's his way of creating a gestational womb outside of the mother to help premature babies grow to full term. Karina doesn't think that he should be allowed to research in Seattle because as she tries to tell Andrew, he is not doing very well. He has been having manic episodes. However, Andrew is excited about creating groundbreaking medical history with his dad, and he tells her that his dad is just fine. Vinny uses DeLuca's relationship with Meredith to manipulate him into realizing that he is dating someone much smarter than him and that he needs to step up his game. Alex ends up approving the research because he doesn't want to discriminate against someone with mental illness, as he's currently seeing his mother doing much better. Vincenzo's success is short-lived. One of the lambs that is growing in the bag dies overnight. Andrew and Karina believe that he is moving too quickly with his research, and Vincenzo speaks to a patient who is going to lose their 21-week-old baby behind all of the other doctors' back and gives her a false promise that he can save their child. Alex has to tell the patient that he is incredibly sorry, but that it is not a viable option, and they have to deliver the baby stillborn. After this happens, Alex reprimands Vincenzo, and he leaves Seattle with his research. After a huge fight with his dad, DeLuca starts to shut himself off from Meredith. He is hurting inside, and although she is reaching out to help, he is not accepting any. Alex tries to help him by putting him on a surgical case, and he ends up messing that up as well by exploding at the patient and the patient's mother in a very inappropriate way. Alex kicks him off the case and tells him that he needs to accept help from Meredith or it might stop coming. He invites Meredith over, apologizes, and they have a nice dinner together.
Yeah, looked yummy. Owen and Amelia go to a lawyer's office to finalize things with Leo's adoption when complications arise because Amelia and Owen no longer live together, nor are they together in a relationship. The lawyer leaves the room to let them sort some things out, and while she is gone, they get into a fight. In the end, Amelia says she has to declare she has clarity about her and Owen no longer being together, and she has clarity that Leo should just be Owen's child. She will continue to be Auntie Amelia and be in the child's life.
While on a podcast, not ours, Maggie breaks the news to the world that she is the product of an affair between Ellis Gray and Richard Weber. The news travels fast, and soon she's getting all sorts of media outlets contacting her, from Jimmy Kimmel Live, Jimmy Kimmel to Live with Kelly Ripa. I saw that on her inbox. Meredith takes the news well and tells Maggie that it is her story to tell. Richard, however, is upset because he is ashamed of what he did in his past. This hurts Maggie's feelings, but by the end of the day, Richard tells Maggie that while he is ashamed of what he did, he is only grateful for her existence. Maggie is worried that her dad is going to be upset that she made it sound that all the credit for her and her medical expertise goes to her birth parents and not the parents that raised her.
Levi and Nico are making out in the on-call room when Levi's mom calls. Nico tries to say, "Hi, Mrs. Schmidt," through the phone, but Levi shushes him. Levi admits to Nico at the end of the day that he isn't ashamed of him or their relationship, but that he isn't, or that he hasn't come out to his mom yet because she is described as a lot. He says that he will tell her soon, and he also tells Nico that he loves him. He does?
Yeah, he says, "I love you." And then he's like, "Why aren't you saying it back?" And Nico's like, "I like to make you sweat."
Oh, I don't remember that part. It was,
and then they jump on each other's back. And it's like cute, but I don't think that they should love each other. Anyways, I don't think they're a good fit. Levi's too sweet. Protect him at all costs. Yes. Okay. Amelia and Ling find themselves at a conference together. There's a ton of sexual tension and they both avoid being alone together for too long. They go to talks and they even attend a sound bath meditation. When it comes time for Ling's presentation, Amelia attends it and is surprised to find out that it is about opioid addiction. He talks about a patient of his who had a very difficult recovery and who he prescribed opioids. That boy eventually died in a car accident while under the influence. Amelia leaves the presentation before Ling can get to the part where he talks about that after the patient died, he quit medicine for a year because he was so upset at his failure in noticing the patient's opioid problem. He comes to Amelia's room that night and tells her that the system is flawed and he wants to try and fix it together with her. Then they sleep together. When they return to the hospital, they intend to keep what happened a secret, but Maggie finds out. Later, after working a very difficult case together, their supposed one-night only affair seems to continue as they kiss.
After Alec's mom, Helen, brings up the idea of children, Jo begins to get curious about her medical and mental family history, which is unknown because she was adopted. She orders a DNA kit to see if she has any genetic markers, and Maggie reads her results to her. She passes the genetics test and begins to get more curious about her family when the DNA test shows that she has a cousin. She reaches out to the intern, Casey, who is good
at... Is that his name?
I don't know.
Okay, go on.
Who's good at hacking computer systems and finding out information and says that she would like him to find her birth mom.
It is.
He had already done so and shows that she lives in Pittsburgh and her name is Vicky. Jo is absent in the next episode because she was gone to meet her birth mother. She's not answering Alec's phone calls all day. And when she gets home late at night, she's in bed pretending to be asleep. When Alex moves away from the bed, we can see that Jo is crying.
And last but not least, after working on a patient who loses a premature baby, Teddy holds it together until she is done with the case. She begins crying and finds herself leaning on Owen, who holds her while she has her breakdown. Tom walks in right as this is happening, but lets them have this moment. The next time we see Teddy, she begins to have some contractions and is in quite a bit of pain. Karina diagnoses her with an insufficient cervix.
What is it?
Teddy has to spend the day resting with her feet above her head. Owen ends up spending the day with Teddy and they talk to the baby, they lay next to each other and they talk about the baby's future. Meanwhile, they are missing the birthing class they were supposed to attend and Tom ends up going alone, sweet baby Tom. When Tom gets back, he approaches Owen and tells him that he won't go down without a fight and that he loves Teddy and only Teddy.
First notes.
Well, I have to scroll. I just said, oh, you have this too. The episode starts with Maggie seeing or having, it looks like it's Maggie's seeing Alice.
Yeah, I was like, is Maggie hallucinating?
Which I was like, oh, wow, they did this before because they did it this last season. But then it's Meredith's dream.
Right.
It's very confusing.
Yeah. So that's my first note. What do we want to talk about first? Or like, what do we even care to talk about?
Honestly, I understand that the Andrew's dad is, I think, opening us up to this idea. They're talking about genetics, bipolar. His dad is bipolar. It's leading into the storyline about DeLuca.
Right.
Like, I think that's like the main reason this happens. First of all, the baby in a bag is creepy.
Oh, yeah.
The lamb in the bag. I loved when Bailey's like, nope.
Yeah, well, like I was about to say, Bailey is already like, this is not okay. And this is going to cause a lot of problems because I'm pretty sure the next step is a human in a bag.
Right.
And I don't know. That's going to get all garbled into some serious ethical issues.
Does he remind you of a vampire? Like, he reminds you of Count Dracula.
A little bit.
It's
something
about the way he looks.
I don't know what it was about his, like, ending fight against Karev. I don't know how to say this. His acting felt really fake to
me. Oh, yeah.
Okay, you agree? It literally
felt like he was like, I want to put a baby in a bag. Yeah. And maybe it was like, I want to know, is he really Italian? Was he using an accent? Something about it felt...
Yeah, and if it, like he's really using... Like, that's really his...
Yeah, then I feel like an asshole.
Well, but it wasn't even like the... accent. It was just the way he was acting. I don't know. I just was like, this is...
Okay, no. The reason he looks like Dracula is if you look at his hairline, it's pointed. Oh. That's where I'm getting that from. And the actor that plays him is... We'll keep talking. I will.
So what I did, like, I guess let me talk about some things I did like
he
about
must
this.
Be Italian. His name is Lorenzo Caccialianza.
Yeah, so he's definitely Italian. Yeah. What I did like about this storyline is when Karev ends up saying to Bailey, like, you're prejudiced against people with, like, mental health issues. And she's like, I am a person with mental health
and
issues.
And I'm working on it every day.
Yeah, I like, and I know that kind of has to go along with the story about Helen, but, you know, he notices it at first with DeLuca's dad. So that part I really liked. I really liked how Bailey said, like, you know, it's hard to ask for help and your mom needs help and you need to be a good son and like give her the space to ask for help.
Yes. And then he kind of spits that back to DeLuca and says, I had it quoted where he says something like, stop biting the hand that's reaching for help. Eventually it'll stop reaching. Like I learned that the hard way, which I'm like trying to think of like directly what situation he's talking about. Oh, he says, when people reach out a hand, don't bite it. I did it for years. The only thing that happens is they stop reaching out.
Oh, so yeah. So he's talking about Meredith there.
Right. Don't you think he's like in general, like, I feel like that goes the same as like...
Oh, I thought he was talking about Meredith. Like, because Meredith has been trying to help him and like, and he just talked to Meredith about that.
I don't think he is, but I also think it can apply to like, he just learned that his mom was wanting help, but didn't like, I just think it's like the idea of you're not doing well and like,
okay, yeah,
I don't know. No, I guess it's different, but
no, that makes sense. I maybe just didn't hear it in that way. So that's it. Whatever. He leaves. Like, I don't really have anything else to say about it. We read it in the rounds. What I do want to talk about is Meredith and DeLuca standing in that fucking closet together. It made me so uncomfortable the way it panned over. It was like, do you have a minute? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Every scene with them makes me embarrassed.
Yeah, and like the shot, like even the way it like scooted across and then they were just like head to head. And I was like, what is this?
Okay, what's the word I'm looking for? The relational chemistry that they have felt similar to, I'm going to really quick, season 19, episode 3, when, what's his name? Fucking Scott Speedman. What's his name in the
show?
Nick Marsh and her are outside the house and like they were fighting, but not. Like it is the same chemistry and it's, I don't think it's real. Like it's so... It makes me feel yucky and not, I don't know why.
Yeah. Even like when DeLuca brings Meredith back to his apartment.
Yes.
And like, the way that she's like, I'm starving. This looks delicious. And then the way she like sits down and then they like kiss. Like everything about it felt forced and gross.
Yes.
And maybe something feels gross about it because like we used to see, okay, this is what I think it is. We used to see Meredith rolling around in bed with Derek. And like we got a little more intimacy with them where I feel like mostly with Nick and DeLuca, it's like weird scenes of them standing and like
outside doors,
like pecking. And so it's like, have they had sex? Like, are they courting? What's going on? You know, like
Meanwhile, why are we getting so many sex scenes with Owen?
Think about the scene with Meredith and the panties in season two and Derek. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I opened my legs when I said that because that is, it makes you open your legs what that scene
does.
This does
not.
No, it's just uncomfortable and like, I don't know. I don't like it. And like, it just feels like annoying. I guess I appreciate that Meredith is like, I am too old for this bullshit.
I liked that part. She's like, yeah, I don't want to spend my day wondering why my boyfriend's ignoring me. Like, yeah. I can't, I don't have time for that.
And he's like, I ran out of minutes. It's like, yeah, you doofus.
I needed a minute. And she, I love when she's like, well, maybe I need a minute. And then he like, is like, do you?
Do you? I made you pasta.
I went, although I was like, maybe the pasta would yeah. win me over. Not yeah. so much the other part, but just the pasta and the wine. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just not really here for it.
No, I'm not either. And...
which is interesting because a couple episodes ago, I was like, I thought like I like in the elevator scene was like super sexy.
Maybe we just like elevators.
That could be it. I don't know. But I don't, these episodes were just like, nah, to me.
Yeah. And I, again, like the thing with his dad feels like it's resolved quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And again, maybe it's just this whole, I feel like these whole things were about like, you know, Maggie's talking about her birth parents. Joe starts to get curious about hers. It's all about genetics and whatever. And like, so learning about like DeLuca's dad and like the things that he's going through is preparing us for DeLuca. And like,
right. It's like,
it's all familial, I guess, what they're trying to show, but I just didn't need it.
Yeah. And then Krev's mom, I guess you're right. It was all very much about like genetics and setting the foundation. Right. Yeah. I think DeLuca's dad's storyline was setting the foundation for DeLuca's story. And it, and that's fine.
I did like that. Meredith didn't want to tell Alex because she was told it in like privacy by DeLuca, you know, but she's like, read my eyes, yeah. like dig deeper. And then Alex is an idiot who like doesn't get it. But
so I love too that she just gives up. She's like, whatever.
Yeah. yeah. I also really, I was thinking like, you know, Helen is doing really well. I think that if she hadn't been there and hadn't been, Alex is actually kind of jaded about mental health issues because of how it affected him, that I don't know if he found that out about DeLuca's dad, he would have let him do the research. But I feel like he was like, oh, people can get better and change. Like, right. I want to do benefit of the doubt. But I literally think before this, before he'd seen his mother again, I think he would have been like, oh, he's had these episodes. Like, we can't, like... mix that.
Yeah.
So he's growing, but then it doesn't. Yeah.
You know, when you said something about like, it's all about genetics. I forgot too. There's that storyline of the two dads and the daughter.
Yes, yes.
And then like, so that was in there too.
Yes. Which I also felt like that was there to soften Levi being afraid to tell his mom, like him seeing an example
yes.
of like a beautiful family with two dads
yes.
and that it's like the daughter loves them and it's, you know,
and it's
whatever.
Okay. And yeah. yeah.
But okay. Can we talk about, okay. I would say out of the whole episode, the one thing or episodes, the one thing I liked was Amelia's speech to Owen when they're fighting in the lawyer's office.
Give it to me.
Well, I just felt like Owen is such an, I hated him in this. Like, you know, first of all, the idea that they were going to split custody is just a terrible idea. So then Amelia's like, you know, I have clarity about this, whatever. And Owen has this like low ball, like thing. He said, I didn't get the right, the whole thing, but she says, breaking up with you was a moment of clarity mm-hmm. for me. And he goes on and on blaming her and says something like, there is a fundamental part of you that can never be loved.
Yeah. And he tells Amelia that she sabotaged it.
Yes. Like, it's like he hears the fact that she's like, actually, I feel a lot of clarity with us breaking up, and he cannot handle that.
Yeah, because she not only she has clarity and she says it hurts, but it hurts less than the alternative.
Yes, which I thought was such a good, and when you are in that situation and it would be harder for you, I'm speaking like I've been there, I'm not, like harder for you to be with that person and go through these things than to just be done.
Right.
Also, I
and
think
his response is so awful.
I think he's so mad because I think he's like, well, I should have chose Teddy.
Yeah. Well, and I think so, like that cycles into like the Owen and Teddy thing and Tom. And I think Tom like really put Owen in his place of like, you like chose Amelia twice
right.
over Teddy. And I have only ever chosen Teddy.
Right.
She is my number one. Like, I am in love with her and I'm going to fight for her. And she deserves that. I think there's a line about,
he says something about,
I'm not going to lie down or walk away. I'm going to fight for Teddy. Tom's sister, he loves Teddy and he loves only her. And she deserves to be with someone whom she is the first and only choice.
Which is so true. Like yeah. she does deserve that. And she doesn't choose it.
I know.
Also he said before that part, you said, he says to Owen, you have over and over again, hurt and abandoned like her, and then something about because you will bring on a lot of drama for the, oh, if you claim to love her, like if you're going to fight for her, you're going to bring on a lot of drama for someone you claim to love.
Yes.
Like, it's like, he's telling him like bow out so that she can be happy, and he's not going to fucking bow out.
Right. Which it's just like, and what's so frustrating is like, you were just like, an episode ago fighting with Amelia about staying together for Leo. And now that that's not an option, you're like, well, maybe I'll be with Teddy.
Right. And like the Amelia says that whole thing, like, you know, once the kids were gone, we realized we weren't right for each other. And he's like, but the kids are back. He's like, yeah. It's like, oh my God, he's just problematic. When does he go to therapy?
I don't know, but the way he spoke to Amelia, like, I wonder how like Kevin McKidd feels about playing a character like this, because I understand we all have flaws, but like it is thing after thing with him and the way he talks to women and the way he treats people he supposedly loves. He's like an extremely damaging, hurtful person.
Yeah. And fast forward, spoiler alert, season 19, they're not happy. Like they're fighting.
Yeah.
Like it's, you know what I mean? Like it's like they... Throughout all of this, like Teddy and Owen are not like in a good place.
Right.
He didn't even know how to have good sex, which we all...
We're going
to talk about that in our reactions episodes, which are behind the paywall. So anyways, I have a lot to say about that.
Yeah. It was tough for me to watch Teddy call her unborn baby.
To talk to it soldier. Like a soldier. Yeah, that was... It was also tough to hear Owen talking to it like a baby.
Yeah. Super like weird. And I did think there. Okay. So if we're shitting a lot on Owen, a couple things that I thought he did really well was when there was the patient who was pregnant, he comes in and he's like, switch with me. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I'm fine. I can handle it. And I like that he doesn't really push back. He's like, okay. And then again, he asks her to switch. And he's like, I'm not saying you're not capable of this, but like, just let me be the one to do it. And again, she's like, this is my patient. And every time he doesn't pull an Owen where he's like, yeah, I don't know what I... So I thought he did a really good job. And then it really was very hard on Teddy. And so she cries in Owen's arm. And then poor Tom sees. I just like, I felt really bad for Tom because he was coming home from his trip. They were hugging and sobbing. You could see that her head was turned. So Tom wouldn't be able to see that.
But she
was
crying. Right. I know.
So it just looks like they're like holding each other in like room. Yeah. It's tough. I mean, they're in a triangle.
He goes to the birthing class alone.
I know.
Oh God, there's someone at your door.
Dude, you guys.
A lot just happened.
A lot just happened. Okay, so we're recording. I don't even know what the fuck we were recording about. And all of a sudden, Abby goes, there's someone at your window.
And he was at the door, and then he walked over to the side window and like peered
in. And he like
in.
Waved at Abby. And I was like, who in the fuck is that? And then I go to the door, and as that's happening, John's calling me. And there's just like, I was like, who? I thought it was maybe because we're getting a new roof.
I thought it was roofers too. And so, I was like, oh, she's going to yell at
us. I was like, oh, they're coming to like check something. And he's like, hey, schedule. It was fucking firefighters. John had scheduled for them to come inspect our home and put smoke detectors
in. And they give you an education.
Okay. My husband wasn't here. And I don't care if these guys listen to this. Two fucking smoking firefighters walk into my home. I am wearing khakis.
I'm wearing these fucking... This is the beginning of a porno.
Dude, literally, I'm wearing a baggy sweater and khakis and clogs. I'm like, welcome to my home. Please come on in. I'm just cooking some nice meat over here.
You had charm, Brie. You had so much charm.
Oh, I like...
Like, I wanted to date you.
I was so uncomfortable the whole time. I had my hands in my pockets. I didn't know what to do with my hands. Anyway, I was like, yeah, how long is this going to take? He's like, hopefully not that long, but we like have to put smoke detectors in all of your bedrooms and inspect your whole entire home.
And educate you.
And I'm going to ask you a few questions at the end, which they do quiz you. I had to sign my name. Also, he was like, how did you guys find us? And I was like, my husband works for 911 dispatch.
Yeah, and then I pointed to his photo on the fridge. I go, John Kalinowski, alleged.
Oh, so ridiculous.
And then I pointed to a photo of Jake, who's in the photo, and I go, by the way, he's interviewing for GRFD tomorrow.
Oh my God. And then they asked about what we were podcasting.
Which I was...
And they couldn't believe that we had a following, except one of them was like, yeah, man, of course they do. Look at their microphones. Which, thank you.
Yeah, I wonder if they're listening. They probably would have turned it off after 5 minutes.
They did ask what the name of the podcast was. So yeah, maybe someday they will listen to us.
Neat.
And they are welcome over whenever they want.
Yeah. We record on Monday evenings, usually at 6. Our husbands aren't here.
We will pour you a glass of wine.
Going to have a glass of wine.
You could. Oh my God, we should have them on for like a Station 19 thing.
Okay, how do we become friends with them?
They were fun.
They were. I was also intimidated.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, they seemed very cool.
Like, I feel confident when it's you and I podcasting. And I'm like, we got this, whatever. But then, like, I instantly felt like high school Abby.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear me? He's interviewing.
At one point, I had to go in the basement with one of them. And all of a sudden, Abby popped up behind us and was like, hey, guys. I wanted to learn, too. That's literally what you said.
I wanted to learn about furnace fires.
I mean... Anyway, so that was great. I literally feel like I cannot even talk about this podcast
anymore. Were you glad
that
your basement was picked up?
Oh my God, I was so relieved.
Because wasn't he talking about like things being all over the place?
Yeah, and he was like, clearly a woman lives here because...
You're like, yeah.
I was like, yeah, clearly. Also, I felt ridiculous with all my Halloween decorations.
I thought he would say something about... Just looking around about like fire hazards, like on the lamps.
Oh yeah. I have scarves on lamps. He said, I have an orange glowing light. He said nothing of it.
No, he did say about what kind of candles? You need jar candles.
Jar candles, which I have one and I think he saw. He's like,
what are the kind you shouldn't have? Just like
tapers.
Oh, okay. But those are so pretty.
That's what he said. He said they're very pretty, but you know.
Yeah.
So
now that was a true adventure.
Oh my gosh, I'm sweating.
I know. I don't even know where we were at.
I literally have no idea. Anyway, this was a great podcast.
I'd rather have that happen than watch Station 19. That was a real life.
Yeah.
Station 19. The other guy was quiet, but he was also super cute.
Cute.
I was going to say hot. I changed my mind.
They were both cute.
Carrying around that ladder, installing shit. I did see you panic when they had to put the CO2. Is that like, that's not the detector, is it?
Yeah, it's the detector.
Okay. And they're like, oh, can I put it right here on the wall?
And I was like, can you maybe, can you put it lower aesthetically? That does not look good.
Do you wish it was closer to the light?
Yeah.
Clearly. Is it drilled in or just stuck there?
No, it's drilled in.
They did that so fast.
They just drill into your walls.
Yeah.
That was wild.
That really was wild.
I'm so happy you were here. If I was home alone,
oh my God,
can you imagine if I was like in my like...
Like when you're school, nightgowns?
Yeah, like robe situation.
Thank goodness you were just in a sensible khaki and a sweater.
Oh, sensible khaki. Okay.
You look great.
Thanks.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Okay, so back to Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, I mean, okay, let's see here. I feel like... We can say something about Amelia and Link. We haven't talked about them.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I didn't realize this happened so quickly. I thought Amelia having short hair and liking Link was like a different season.
Yeah, I was really surprised by that.
But clearly, that's when she got pregnant, right there.
Right. Or maybe not right there, because they were going to have sex in the blue room,
but
too.
Like that week.
Yes.
I would assume.
And I said like she would have to get pregnant soon because
right when her and Owen break up.
Right. So yes, it did happen very quickly, but also it makes sense in the timeline of things.
Yes.
How did you feel about that?
Well, I was glad they brought up like her breakdown in the hallway having to do with like Betty and stuff. Cause I was like, that was an intense moment. And like, does it ever get brought up again? I don't think he's like, especially in like seeing Amelia with Kai,
mm-hmm.
like I just feel like Link is not the person for Amelia, but seems like a very fun rebound. Like when she was looking at him, she's like, you're so chiseled. Like even your jaw is like, I feel like it's
kind of like that firefighter.
Yeah, dude, me.
Dude. Yeah. Okay. Keep
you know
going.
What was annoying though? He knew it.
Oh my God, he absolutely knew he was a goddamn smoke show.
Right.
He was like, these are two like women my age
right.
who are home alone and I can just toy with them. Like, because right. I'm a fucking firefighter and I'm a golden god.
And, just flashed over there.
It was probably them. They're probably coming back.
And when he walked away and then he turned around again, was like, do you guys have any questions for me? I thought he was going to be like, what's your number? Like, I thought like I was going to, he thought we were going to ask him that. I mean, I wonder if his partner's just like, oh, there goes meat again.
They're just meat being meat. And I bet he has a like little diary of things that he checks out. Like, got another. Like,
God, we're such easy pleasers.
I literally give me someone in a uniform to walk in, muscles ablazing.
This is why, you guys, I need, do you think I want Jake to become a firefighter because like I want him to fight fires? No.
But do you like drop panties when he's in his paramedic uniform?
No, because I don't think they're as like whatever. However, when he was at that award ceremony last
week. He looked so good.
And he like, I just have to say this story. So when we were coming in, there was a guy who was missing like one leg from the knee down in a wheelchair. And it was like in a Mary Freebed wheelchair. So like he was definitely still in rehab, you know? And his wife was pushing him and kids. And we were outside going into this Grand Valley building downtown. And they hit a bump and he fell out of the wheelchair. This is on the way to the thing. And like, we were ahead of them, but I heard him like yell kind of. And I turned and I was like, Jake, before I even said, hey, that guy fell out of his wheelchair. Jake was halfway across the parking lot and fucking picked up this giant man and like put him in the seat and like whatever. And they like went back in and then was like back by me. And I just was literally frozen. I was like, I didn't go because I was like, what am I going to do? Like whatever. And so anyways, he ended up being someone who had been saved. So this was like an award ceremony for like certain rescues of the year. And some of the patients could have chosen to come to like meet their first responders. And he was someone who was in a car accident who was saved. And so it was just crazy. And then he like thanked Jake again, but it was just so anyway, so in that moment, yes, panty drop
right there.
But like when he leaves for work and he's just like hovering over me, no.
Get out of here.
A fire uniform is different.
It looked good.
Yeah. Anyways. Okay. So Link is chiseled. Yeah. They have sex. I thought it was weird. His talk and like why she just left. And then they want to, I don't know. I feel like the topic is what's getting them together also. Like, it's like.
You know what's weird is like, when they got together in like the blue room, uh-huh. I had a feeling of like missing them. Now hear me out, listeners.
Okay.
I love Kai. Like, and I am happy that Amelia is with Kai. Yeah. So like, I'm not, please don't hear this they as like,
a,
I want
they
them.
They had a happy period.
Yeah. Like, and I was just like, oh, and I think it's just more like nostalgic of like, and they end up having a child together. And I don't think they should have ended up together because I think Link definitely changed too. Like, yeah. I like this Link more than Link in later seasons.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Also, maybe the pandemic did it to them. You know, like.
Yeah, they were raising a million children together that weren't even
so
their
many
own.
Children.
And he was playing the guitar and drinking. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's tough.
But the blue room was a happy moment.
Yes.
I also really love Amelia's short hair.
Oh my gosh, it looks so good. Yeah. She like that cut is really good on her.
She looks
it's
great.
Really good on you too, by the way.
Thank you. It'll be there someday soon.
Yeah.
So anyways, it was just interesting that happened. I think it was nice or weird to see it and be like, oh, it was a big rebound.
Yeah.
Like she just ended it with Owen.
Yeah.
And wanted hot sex. I did like the part when she tells Maggie that she had sex at a conference and then he says he was at a conference and then they like talk. She's like, you weren't supposed to tell her. She's like, he's like, I just said where I was. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. That part was funny. Do you have any thoughts on Maggie and like the podcast and like the Richard thing?
Well, I just kind of thought it was pretty shitty that Maggie would. And I understand it's her story. And Meredith kind of said like, it's your story, but it's also Richard's story. And I did think that it was really sweet. I have a line here that Richard ends up saying to Maggie, of course I can't find it, but pretty much he ends up saying like
at the end.
Yeah. Richard tells Maggie she is a miracle and not a scandal, which I thought was really sweet that he, cause obviously he was upset in the beginning and then later on was just like, you know, tell your story.
He says, I am proud to be any part of you, Maggie.
Yes.
Which is great. But I can imagine his like, oh, great. Now the whole medical community knows that Ellis and I had an affair.
Right.
Like, and I get too that he's like, obviously Catherine already knows that.
Mm-hmm.
But to have that be like published everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't have much to say. I think they were just doing more genetics thing. I did think it was interesting that Maggie Joe was like, hey, did you ever do genetic testing? And Maggie's like, I did every fucking test I could on myself. Like, yeah. That feels very in character of her to like have covered all her bases. Now, okay, I wonder if why I'm feeling apprehensive about these episodes is because I know the Big Joe stuff is coming up and I feel tired. Like, I feel like it's going to be heavy. And I don't necessarily have, I am not like the right person maybe to be like giving my opinion on all of it. Yeah. I don't know. I just like, it's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot.
And so I just know that that's coming up next.
Right. And it was sad to see, this progression of like Joe, like being excited to find something out about her birth. Right. Mom, or even some her genetics, and like it transitioning from like, yeah, being like, I'm excited. Oh my gosh, I want to know. And then it's clear that it didn't go well when we see her in bed and she's crying. Right. We don't know why yet, but I mean,
is the next episode probably the like one where we learn what happened? Like where it's just Joe in Philadelphia?
Maybe, yeah. Right? Or sometime soon. Well, maybe not right away because I feel like she's like really weird for like an episode.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Then
she ends up going to therapy and then
she goes like inpatient.
And then Alex comes and re-proposes.
Yeah.
And then he leaves.
Yeah. So that's going to be.
Oh, I also liked when he asked Bailey, I'm kind of jumping around, but whatever. When he asked Bailey to be chief for 2 days so he can take his mom back. I just like that he phrased it as like, I'm not done. Like, yeah. I just need 2 days off. Yeah.
And she says it will be big shoes to fill, which is sweet.
I also liked the moment. It felt very normal. I don't necessarily approve of moms like pushing having children on, you know, their kids. But I thought it was a very like human and like normal mom-son conversation when he's like, you really kind of freaked Joe out with the hats. She's like, I'm sorry. I just wanted to nudge her along. Mm-hmm. Like that feels like Helen is doing well. Alex is experiencing what it's like to have a mom in his life doing annoying things that, you know, can happen.
So, yeah.
What did you think about Richard fish frying the fish?
Oh my God. Yeah. I was like, Richard is having a fish fry outside. That's all I have a note about.
I like that Jackson goes, I thought I read the text wrong, but you are hosting a fish fry.
I loved it.
Or no, that was Alex, I think.
But. I loved it. And I love that everyone was up there and Bailey had the hat on and whatever. I was just
The hat that Helen
made. Yeah, it was just a very like Richard thing to do. Like, waste not. We will fry these fish. Tilapia, that's a good fish.
Okay, I know. Well, it's like on that guy's skin.
Yeah. Blah.
Burn victims. I don't ever want to be one.
Well, if you learn about fires, if you invite firefighters over, you won't be a burn victim.
That's true. I learned a lot today. Mm-hmm. I learned that you need to have John unpaint your window shut.
Yeah, and also we are supposed to move our bed away from the window.
Yeah, that's bullshit. There's nowhere. There are only walls with windows for my bed, too.
Yeah, like there. It's. I would just crawl over. I would pull. Like I could get out the window still. Yeah. I don't have a headboard.
Yeah. Also, where are you going if you go out your window? Falling to the depths?
I mean, yeah, I'm going on to my. I'm surprised they didn't say anything about like fire ladders. Like you should really have a fire ladder under your bed.
Are we all supposed to have one?
My mom told me we were. Oh. I mean, but you live in a ranch, so
that's true.
You can just topple out a window. You're fine.
I almost asked them about when he said, what's the leading cause of fires? And I almost said, crock pots. This is us.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to say crocs.
No, not crocs.
Crocs, everyone. The leading cause of fires, everyone, is kitchens. I said dryers.
What did I say?
What did you say?
I had a good
one. You said?
Oh, candles and cats.
Yeah, candles and cats.
But that's because I had a childhood friend in elementary school that is how their house lit on fire.
Oh, no.
A cat and a candle.
I believe it. Cats are
fucking cat.
Reckless.
Can you picture it? Just like
that's why you don't have tapers. Because if you were in a jar, it would probably go out.
Or the hot wax would burn your fucking cat and you'd have to put fish skin on it.
Or put your cat down.
Oh. Oh, I also liked when you were like, how do you see my cat up there? And he was like, yeah, he's chilling.
Yeah.
I want to be like, he's a she.
He's a she. Her name is Marge.
Yeah. We're not talking about this in post-op, so I'll just say it now. The patient, I believe Toby, who uses they, them pronouns. This was like one of the first times I would say that this is tackled on the show.
In Grace, yeah.
My personal opinion is that it would have been more well done. I get that they were trying to show Richard, who's like, you know, doesn't know how to change with the times and blah, blah, blah. If they just not made a big deal about it and made it like, oh, okay, I will use the correct pronouns now.
Right.
I get that there are people who it is like a learning curve, and I don't know if they're just trying to show that generation and then that Richard does eventually like get it, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I think if they just had Helm and Jackson just get it and tell Richard and then Richard gets it, it would have been more meaningful and less of this like other, like it almost like it others. You know?
I think that you make a really good point with that. Yeah.
But I didn't need to see Richard be like an old school boomer, even though I know that he is.
Yeah, I agree.
But anyways, that's all I have to say about that.
I don't have anything else to say because you said it for me.
Thank you. And I have nothing to say about the math patient. Sorry, guys. I mean, it was cute. She didn't want surgery. I get it.
Yeah, I don't either.
I did like, I wish Kadri hadn't left. Like I kind of, there's like parts of her that I think are funny.
Yeah, I think so too. But I don't really have anything else. Do you?
No. Should I do notes and trivia or should we?
Yeah. Should you? Should I? Should
I'll
we both?
Start.
Okay.
This episode's title originated from the song Blood and Water, originally sung by Grandson.
It scored 6.55 million viewers.
J.C. Elliott was credited as a guest star in the press release for the episode, but Taryn is only mentioned. I have no idea who they're talking about.
This episode's title originated from the song And Dream of Sheep, originally sung by Kate Bush.
Running up that hill. This episode scored 6.57 million viewers.
This is the last episode written by William Harper, who joined the show as a writer and executive story editor as of season 5 and became a producer as of season 7. As of season 11, he became co-showrunner with Stacey McKee until she left after season 13 and was replaced by Krista Vernoff as of season 14. He left the show after the 15th season.
Joe's British heritage is a nod to...
Oh, I did have a note about that.
Camilla Luddington's origins.
Yeah, I did have a note about that. I said, I wonder if that was... Okay. The episode introduces Amelia's short hair.
Tom Krasick does not have any lines in this episode.
This episode's title originated from the song Add It Up, originally sung by Violent Femmes.
This episode scored 7 million viewers exactly.
Goof. While in the game room, Bailey supposedly loses right before beating her own high score, but the screen actually says she set a new high score.
Wow, what a goof. Catherine Fox. Oh,
God damn it. Who would we even... Tom?
Let's give it to Tom.
Tom fighting for Teddy. Going to the birthing class by himself.
Yeah, Tom, my second choice, but I want to go Tom, is Amelia for like having clarity over Owen for once.
Yeah, but we gave it to her last week.
That's
so
true. Okay, I am rating this like a 5.5. I just didn't enjoy them.
Yeah, I'll do the same. 5 out of 5. No. Five out of five. No. I'm going to give it a 5.5. Also, no, I'm going to give it a 5. I didn't really.
Also, sorry if we got out of whack after our break. It was just very jarring.
Yeah, like I literally have no idea. I don't know what we talked about before firefighters arrived. I don't know what happened in my life before and after. It's like before
and after meat.
Before and after meat. Yeah, it's really. It's
yeah, my life will never be the same.
My life will never be the same. Oh my God. I'm so happy you were here to experience that with me. And I'm actually kind of happy it happened during a podcast episode because now all of you guys know about it too.
Yeah. I feel like this needs to definitely be in the show notes and call it like the one where Abby and Bree get firefighters halfway through. Like, I don't
get
know.
Get them?
Yeah, we get them.
Yeah.
What's the other guy's name? I didn't see it. I forgot to look at his uniform.
I don't remember.
Okay. All right. Well,
anyway.
Listeners, thanks for being here for us. Thank you for being just like, you know what? For being a following, because we told them we had a following.
Yeah. And they didn't believe it.
No, they didn't. So stick around if you are a $10 patron. We're going to talk about the different stress relieving rooms. Otherwise, time of death is 1759.